Boys and girls, welcome to the Children's Bible Club, coming to you today from Santa Rosa Christian Academy in Milton, Florida. We're glad you've joined us today. And now here's the Bible Club choir to start the program under the direction of Mr. Howard Woods. Boys and girls, for that good singing. And it's wonderful to know that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. And when our sins are under His blood, and we do indeed know the Lord Jesus as our Savior, then we have true hope in Christ. It's a sad world that has no hope, and they look for hope in all kinds of things: church membership, good works, all kinds of things. But our only hope that's of any value is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Say, Bible Clubbers, do you have a pencil? Well, run, get one quickly, 'cause I have a good question for you today, and I want to know just how many of you will dare to hunt up the answer and send it to me this week. Now, you have to have a pencil and a paper, because you might forget it otherwise. Are you ready? I have a good question for you this week. Write down this verse. 1 Chronicles 20:5. That's 1 Chronicles 20:5. And here's the question. What was the giant Goliath's brother's name that Elhanan killed in the war with the Philistines? You remember that old big giant had a spear as big as a weaver's beam? Well, he had a brother, and somebody else had to tackle him. And Elhanan killed him in a war with the Philistines. But what was that old big giant's brother's name? Now, you'll find the answer in 1 Chronicles 20:5. It's a rather strange name, I must say, and so it may be a little difficult for you to find. But I want to know if my Bible Clubbers have enough gumption to get in the Bible and find that answer today. And if you find it, send it to me, Aunt Carolyn, Box 643, Milton, Florida, 32572. And tell me the name of the station you listen to, too. Give me the call letters of the station you hear us on, and then tell me the name of that man that Elhanan killed in the war. And send your answer to me, Aunt Carolyn, Box 643, Milton, Florida, 32572. If you get it right, I'll send you a little prize, and I'll be looking to hear from you this week. And now, here's the choir.
Been a thrilling day when David finally began to reign as king over Israel. Oh, he'd gone through so many trials and hardships during the years Saul was still alive, for Saul had hated David so fiercely that he'd just hunted him like an animal, and David had had to run for his very life. But now Saul was dead, and David came to the throne. And the kingdom grew strong and was blessed, and David knew that God had established him as king. Then David remembered the Ark of the Covenant, that beautiful box-like chest all covered with gold, with the mercy seat inside and the cherubims facing each other with their wings touching over the top. Oh, a beautiful ark it was, but more than that, it was the symbol of God's presence and the very place where his presence and glory dwelt, where he met his people. In all the years of turmoil during Saul's reign, the chest had been left at Bala, and Saul didn't have it, let alone seeking God at it. So David called all the leaders of his people and challenged them to go with him and bring up the Ark of God. Oh, it was a wonderful idea. They agreed to go. And how careful they could be. And what singers and musicians they'd take along to make a truly grand procession. Nothing but the best would do for the Ark of God, so they loaded it on a brand new cart, with two special men just to drive the new cart. Ahio went in front, and Uzzah came behind to watch ever so carefully. In those days, there weren't smooth ribbons of highways everywhere like we have today. Why, the roads were rough. And when they came to the threshing floor of Chidon, it was so bumpy that the ark fairly looked like it was going to shake off the cart. It seemed only the natural thing to do to protect it, and Uzzah reached out and touched the ark to steady it. But God was greatly displeased and struck Uzzah dead right on the spot. Well, David didn't know what to think. That sure put a stop to the procession. That was the end of the music and the singing and the rejoicing.
Everyone was in a state of shock. And David was so displeased with the Lord and also afraid, he said, "How can I bring the Ark of God up when something like this happens? Here I am trying to do something good, and God smites my servant that was helping." And David was displeased and afraid and called the whole procession off and left the ark there to the nearest house. And they all went back to Jerusalem, empty-handed, empty-hearted, and things were quite at a standstill. Well, for 3 months the ark stayed at Obed-Edom's house, and God blessed that man's house as never before, and blessed his family and all that he had. Say, there must be something special about the ark. There must be something special about having God's presence dwelling with you. And David heard of all of this, and he again desired the ark. He wanted God's blessings, too, on the kingdom and on his own family. But how could he get the ark? He'd tried once and failed. Now, the first time, he had done it in a natural way. Anybody could build a new ark and new cart and load it on. It was handy, and even the way the heathen Philistines did things. But God had given special orders in his law exactly how the ark was to be carried. It wasn't to be touched by human hands, but rather the Levites were to put staves through, carrying poles through the rings on the side of the ark and lift it on their shoulders and bear the ark of God that way. Now David sought the rules and earnestly followed every detail that God had set down in his word. And when all was prepared, once again they went after the ark. Only this time it wasn't carried man's way, but according to God's word. And what a procession they had, singing and rejoicing, and they brought the ark to Jerusalem to the special tabernacle built for it. What was the difference in these 2 days? One, a total disaster, and one, joy and victory. Well, boys and girls, the difference was in following God's word. We must do God's work in God's way. No job you undertake, no matter how good or worthy, can be successful or blessed if we do it in a way that it does not line up with God's rules and the principles of God's word. Christian boy and girl, do you want to have a victorious life for the Lord? Then find out how in the Bible. Get the rules from God's book. Ephesians says, "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand." Do you want a happy home life and get along with your parents? Well, God tells how to do that. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Do you want your prayer answered? Well, ask in faith, believing according to God's word. Do you want to win souls? Find it in God's word. Do you want to be saved? Then heed God's word. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. Trust God's word. Receive Jesus as your Savior today.
You have been listening to the Children's Bible Club broadcast with Aunt Carolyn and the Children's Bible Club Choir. The program is heard each week on this station at this same time, and we hope you will join us again next week, and be sure to tell your best friend to listen too. The Children's Bible Club is produced by the Santa Rosa Christian Academy of Florida in Milton, Florida. Be sure to write to Aunt Carolyn this week for information about the storybooks and tapes that are produced by the Children's Bible Club. These books and tapes can be used in Sunday school classes, day school, summer camp work, Daily Vacation Bible School, or in the home for story time. Aunt Carolyn would like to hear from you today. Be sure to mention the call letters of the radio station that you're listening to. Her address is Aunt Carolyn, Box 643, Milton, Florida, 32570. That's Aunt Carolyn, Box 643, Milton, Florida, 32570.